So please do join them. So I'm going to start with a little pop quiz. Can anyone remember the nine plagues that we sang about? Anybody want to shout out? Festering boils. All right, that's the one we remember. Why do we remember that bit? Yeah. So I'm going to make you stand up again after three. Right, so we don't want to say festering boils, do we? We want to sing it nice and loud. Come on. So after three. One, two, three. Festering boils. Thank you. I never thought I'd stand at the front and sing festering boils. That's a... But obviously, putting it into song form worked well, so thank you, Lydia. That was a brilliant song. But there was a lot of plagues. There was the nine plagues. There was the Nile turned to blood, the frogs, the gnats, the flies, the festering boils, dead cattle, hail, locusts, and darkness. Now, we did have a bit of fun with the plague song, and I think that's going to be stuck in my head for quite some time now. But in reality, the plagues were not fun. As each plague came to the land of Egypt, the land was ruined. Up until this point, Egypt was a prosperous and rich country. This was mainly due to the fact that the Pharaoh had turned God's people, the Israelites, into slaves. He would beat them and make them work day and night to build up a great kingdom for him and the Egyptians. The Israelites had been slaves for years and were being treated so badly that in the end they finally cried out to God to help them. And God heard their prayers. This year in the All Age celebrations, we've been exploring the Father heart of God. And this story is a fantastic example of how much God loves us as our Heavenly Father. God's Father heart meant that he found a way that he could set his people free and to show how powerful and trustworthy our Father God is. As we saw in the story, God chose Moses as the person he wanted to use to set his people free. Moses was not too happy about this at first, and he didn't feel that he had the gifts to do what God was calling him to do. But when God has a plan for you, he will always give you the gifts that you need, and he will lead the way. God wanted to show Pharaoh and the Egyptians his great power. He wanted to multiply his signs and wonders to the people of Egypt, which is why each plague was worse than the previous one. While researching this talk, I decided to imagine each plague as though it were happening today, and it's truly terrifying. First of all, I'd like you to imagine what it would be like if the water that we take for granted was turned to blood. The Nile and its rivers and canals were the water source for everyone who lived in Egypt. They didn't have taps in their homes like we do. The people were expected to fetch their water from the Nile, and it was used for everything. To drink, to cook, and to wash in. It was also a source of food, as people used it for fishing. Imagine all the water in your house being turned to blood. You wouldn't be able to shower, brush your teeth, or even worse, you wouldn't be able to get your morning cuppa. After a couple of days, we would be thirsty, hungry, as well as smelling pretty bad. Now, I want you to imagine a plague of flies. This was not just one little fly that buzzes around your house, and then gets stuck in your window, and then you have to get up, you open your window, and it still doesn't know how to get out, so it's still buzzing around your window. This was a plague of flies, hundreds and thousands of flies. If it happened today, they would be everywhere. They would be in every room in your house. If you opened your cupboards or fridge, there would be flies rushing in and out, so you wouldn't be able to eat or drink without swallowing at least one fly. And going to the toilet would be very uncomfortable. So anyway, I'll stop with the plagues now. It's making me itch. These plagues were a big deal, and they would have been showing the people of Egypt how powerful our God is. Each time there was a plague, the Pharaoh's heart would harden. And although he would assure Moses that he would let the people go if the plague stopped, every single time he went back on his word and refused to let the Israelites leave. The plagues happened over a number of weeks, with some plagues lasting for days. It must have been so miserable for the people of Egypt. God needed to bring about judgment in order to bring about salvation, so he sent the final plague, the death of all the firstborn sons in Egypt. It was a decisive act. God's people prepared for the final plague by sacrificing their best lamb and painting its blood over the door. Moses explained, "God will see the blood, and know the lamb died instead of you. This night is remembered as the Passover because God passed over the houses of the Israelites in order to bring about salvation. It was the final straw for Pharaoh, and he let the Israelites go. Moses knew that the Pharaoh could go back on his word at any time, just like he had all the other times. So the Israelites had to leave there and then. God's people left Egypt. They were finally free. But what now? God promised his people that he would lead them out of slavery, and he did. He also promised that he would always be with them and protect them, and he did. It was a decisive act. He led them away from Egypt through the desert to the Red Sea. He was with them every step of the way, leading and protecting them with a pillar of cloud in the sky in the day and a pillar of fire at night. When the Pharaoh realized that God's people had left and he had no one to rebuild his city that had been ruined by the plagues, his heart hardened and he wanted his slaves back. He decided to take his army and the best officers to find and bring the Israelites back. At this point, the Israelites had reached the Red Sea. They had no boats, and it was way too far to swim. So when they saw the Pharaoh coming across the desert for them, they were terrified. They had the sea on one side and the army of Pharaoh on the other. They were at a dead end. The people were already broken by slavery and fear. They were tired and hungry and started to lose their trust in God, even though he had kept his promise and led them this far. Moses was the only one who kept his trust. He said, "Fear not, stand firm, and see the salvation of the Lord." It was a decisive act. The Israelites had followed God out of Egypt. When they left, they were excited, happy, and victorious. God had saved them from Pharaoh whilst displaying his power and judgment, and they were going to the promised land. God had led them through the wilderness and to the Red Sea. He was their protector and guide. He is ours too, if we choose to trust in him. But then, all of a sudden, God's people were caught in a dead end between the Pharaoh and the Red Sea. They did have free will. They had a choice. They could go back to slavery, or they could fear not, stand firm, and see the salvation of the Lord. God had a plan. It looked impossible and scary, but he had promised to be with them, and he was. God knows where he is going, and he keeps his promises. God can make a way. It may seem like a dead end, but God can make a way. The Israelites chose to follow God. It wasn't easy, but it was a decisive act. Yes, the sea was parted, but they still had to race across the muddy ground with two great towering walls of water rushing beside them. It would have been terrifying. There were young and old, able and infirm people amongst them, but God was with them. God was protecting them. They all made it safely across, and they would have watched as God defeated Pharaoh once and for all. God set his people free from slavery and sin so that they were free to worship him. When we disobey God, we are enslaving ourselves to the sin of this world. We are putting ourselves in the dead end between the Pharaoh and the Red Sea. When the Israelites chose to follow God and cross the Red Sea to salvation, they were choosing to free themselves from slavery and sin. It is a choice. If God hadn't defeated the Pharaoh, the Israelites would have been running and looking over their shoulders for the rest of their lives. But God did defeat Pharaoh, and the Israelites were free to worship God and to live without fear. Which side of the Red Sea are you on? Are you still enslaved to the sin of this world? Or are you free to worship, serve, and praise God for all the things he has done for you? What you serve most and spend the most time on is what you are enslaved to. Are you a slave to anxiety, fear, pride, or unforgiveness? Do you feel like you are at a dead end? Do you feel like there is no way out of a situation? Or perhaps you are enslaved to fear and you know that you are putting some things higher than God? Remember that God can make a way. He is offering you a way out of slavery, and it's called salvation. When God defeated Pharaoh once and for all, he brought salvation to his people. God is offering us the same salvation. He offers it to us through what Jesus did for us on the cross. God parted the Red Sea for the Israelites, which made a way for them to the cross. On one side of the Red Sea, sin is crouching at the door. On the other side is salvation. Because Jesus defeated sin by dying on the cross, he made a way for us out of the dead end. The crossing to the cross has already been made, but we do have to decide to accept, trust, and follow. We need to let God lead and protect us by choosing Jesus as our Savior and follow where the Holy Spirit is leading us. What Jesus did for us on the cross was a decisive act to save us from our sin. To receive that salvation, we have to be decisive in our trust. We need to choose Jesus so that we can receive salvation and therefore break the bonds of slavery and fear. God can make a way. As Moses said, "Fear not, stand firm, and see the salvation of the Lord." I'm now going to ask our young people, if they've finished, to bring up the art they've been working on.